All right, أهلا نادين مزهر. It's so good to have you here.
Thank you, Yazan. It's great to be here.
It's يعني بصراحة كتير مبسوط إنه our common friend هنا شعشاعة, who is the recent hire at your company, سروة.
Yeah.
عرفتنا بعض.
Me too.
We have such a small world, a lot of common friends. Since we're talking about Hannah, maybe a quick shout out to Hannah and Muhammad Jordani. Congratulations, they recently got engaged.
Mabrouk. It's really great news. I mean, I heard about it today, but I'm very, very happy for her.
Yeah, I only heard about it today as well.
I think everyone heard about it.
I'm super, super happy. He's a lovely guy. Same. Obviously, she's like a sister to me. And ألف ألف مبروك يعني. So good to have you here. متحمس كتير أحكي معك بصراحة لما عرفت إنه Hannah is joining Sarwa and what Sarwa does. Which is, we're going to talk a lot about it in the episode. قلت هاي الاب تحديدا سروة لواحد انا بلشت الكارير تبعتي ب 2007 يعني when I was 22. كنت طايش يعني من عمري 22 لعمري 30 يمكن شو ما عملت مصاري وقد ما I got promotions وترقيت وكذا. I always found a way to spend my money and I wasn't a very good saver. It's a kind of app that I was hoping to have come across when I was younger. In my career in Dubai, so that to help me manage my wealth and to kind of basically, إحنا أظن كعرب يعني مقارنة بأصحابنا اللي بيوروب وأمريكا وشوي مبعزقين ونصرف كتير. فواحدة من الشغلات قبل ما نبلش نحكي عن كيف how Sarwa works and your role in it and so on. You live in Dubai. You're a professional woman who works in Dubai. Who's also a mother, right?
مزبوط.
فاحكي لي من ناحية savings يعني. What is it about the qualities that you have experienced as a professional now as a mother, also as in your role as Sarwa? إنه ليه إحنا يعني بدبي somehow one way or another دائما مصرف مصارينا ما عم نسيف قد ما المفروض نسيف يعني. Have you ever thought about that? Or have you had any observations about this particular topic?
Yeah, طبعاً شوف يعني we not only do we think about it, من عطول منفكر بالموضوع بس كمان منشوف شو في دراسات يعني what are the actually research studies behind it. In general, yes, and نحنا كمجتمع كculture مثل ما قلت we're more of a spending culture, not a saving culture, صح؟ بس slowly you do see a shift happening. يعني عم تشوف في تغيير عم بيصير في وعي شوي أكتر عن العالم في يعني عم نلاحظ إنه العالم بلش تفكر إنه oh wow you know what I need to take that step back I need to create an emergency fund I need to have something يعني saved على جنب
صح.
لا مثل ما بقوله خبي قرشك الأسود
ليومك الأسود
قرشك الأبيض ليومك الأسود مزبوط
صح. صح.
So it's really becoming more of an awareness بس we are not ما عندك نفس level of maturity when it comes to financial literacy مثل ما بتشوفها ب let's say Europe ولا North America يعني بلاد شوي أكتر تعتبر more developed.
صح.
نحن بنحب نعيش اليوم. Right? We like to live for today basically.
مش بس هيك إحنا لما بنعمل عزيمة يمكن نطلب أكل لعشرين واحد بكون
جينا
خمسة.
Yeah. بطبعنا.
Yeah. It's a good thing. Look, I don't mind being generous. I think إذا واحد لازم يكون extreme يا بده يكون generous وكريم وعنده hospitality. If you can bring this closer to you. If
yeah.
You
let me know if the sound. No. It's yeah, just.
You're good.
To make sure that. Okay.
بس بنفس الوقت برجع بحكي أنا هلا الحمد لله مثلا after the age of 30 I started actually properly saving and taking my future seriously. Okay. بس لما بطلع على أصحاب إلي مثلا اللي الفرنسية والإيطالية والإسبانية كنا بنفس الكارير باث وهم من أول ما بلشوا حتى لما كانوا عشراتنا قليلة يعني somehow they always find a way to save money and to put something aside. ونحن يعني أو أنا شخصيا أو أصحاب إلي كذا we always find a way to نتبعزق ونصرف ونسافر ونطلع ونيجي ف which let's talk about Sarwa and how like an app or a platform like Sarwa can help the young me to become a little bit more savings conscious about their savings and their future. So tell me what Sarwa is and tell us a little bit more about what you do at Sarwa. Go ahead.
Yeah, we can start with the beginning. صح.
Yeah. يعني
نحنا Sarwa was born out of an idea by we're three partners. نحنا there's Mark Ujad and myself. Mm-hmm. And Mark Ujad كانوا عايشين بكندا. So they're living in Canada at the time. And again, يعني going back to the culture and the financial literacy and the exposure to financial services. So هني وقت كانوا عايشين هنيك كانوا very exposed to financial services that were advanced. Yeah. فمن الأول from a young age, you are given the opportunity to save, to invest. فبلش really young. كل ما كانوا يحكوا مع family members أو أصحابهم هون بالمنطقة يسألوهم إنه what do you do with your money يعني إذا أنتوا let's say عم نفترض إنه you're actually saving money aside
yeah.
so شو بتعملوا بهالمصاري And a lot of the people here, يعني two answers. يا إنه قاعدين بالبنك ما عم يعملوا شيء. يا إنه عم نفكر نشتري real estate, بيت. It's always the go-to عنا هون إنه what do you do with the money is these two options.
صح? Yeah.
We don't think about investing. We don't think about long-term planning. ما عنا هالتخطيط لقدام. So لاحظوا إنه there is an opportunity and there's a need. So بوقت هيا زن حكيوني. And they were telling me about the idea that they have to build a robo advisor. I've been in the Emirates for about 13 years. So I've been here for more than 13 years, almost 13 years.
Yeah,
grew up in Saudi, Ashtab Lebanon. I lived a little bit in Europe, but then came back here. And I realized that my immediate family, so I have a sister that was a consultant, she was making good money. But putting her money aside, and she didn't know what to do with it. So I'm بتجمع, because she was young, consultancy, it pays well.
Yeah.
I have another family member اللي اشتغل for like 40 years and worked hard بالمنطقة, and then he put money aside. وإجا بده, he wanted to invest it, right? So he had that idea, I can grow my money through investment.
Yeah.
ما أخدوا financial advisors here. None of them took him لأنه they found إنه the amount that he has doesn't hit their minimum requirement, right?
Yeah.
So it's usually they take high net worth individual,
which
is like very high sum.
What does that usually require as a minimum to pay as a previously? يعني
previously. Yeah. So عم نحكي يعني بدهم $500,000 وطالع مثلا.
Oh wow.
Okay. طبعا you'd find other people that take, but he had in mind and he wanted to go to specific advisors and they're like, okay, he didn't hit that minimum requirement. Very quickly realized there's a need in the market. بدك حدا to be able to provide a solution that's affordable, that's easy to use, and that's accessible للعالم كلهم بالمنطقة. يعني we're very passionate about that mission because we believe through technology you can actually provide a service that can help people build for the future.
Yeah, and so how does the technology? So generally, when my understanding of financial advisors and wealth managers, you pay something upfront. بتعطيهم شوية مصاري أول إشي وبتعطيهم بعدين مصاري كل شهر اللي هي مثلاً ممكن تكون whatever $2,000-$3,000 $10,000 كل واحد على مقدرته. Or they invest it for you in different equities, bonds, real estate, gold. There are different types of assets. وهاي هي الطريقة التقليدية اللي بيشتغلوا فيها هم. How does the technology part play a role in Sarwa compared to the traditional version of wealth management and financial advisory? Or the robo, you call it a robo-advisory, right?
So we call it robo-advisor, but we're hybrid, right? So كتير عالم بيقولنا robo, so are you robo, like do you use, we're a hybrid model. So we use technology to basically نقدر assess the risk profile تبع the customers. And then based on that, we use the algorithm to recommend the portfolio of investment. So نحنا يعني in a nutshell, Sarwa is an online financial advisor. So we use the technology, like you said, to help people invest in international money, international markets.
Yeah.
Help people invest their money in international markets.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
How do we do that? Is through technology. But we also have a hybrid model. So you can actually talk to our advisors anytime. So whenever you need to talk to someone, we have people available to help you come in and support you whenever is needed.
Right.
The way we help people invest is through exchange traded funds.
Okay, ETFs also.
ETFs. Yeah. So شو هن ETFs هن عبارة عن they're like mutual funds but much more affordable. So it's a basket of securities. So they have different class assets. You can actually invest in ETFs, مثلا in stocks, ETFs bonds, or ETFs real estate. So we have REITs, ETFs coming. And one, let's take an example of a stock ETF, right? One ETF can actually hold within it تقريباً 3,000 companies, different companies. So the US stock ETF that we use نحنا in our portfolio has in it 3,000 شركة. So you have, by buying one ETF, you're exposed to all these companies.
You're diversifying across all
so
three.
So you're diversifying, exactly.
Right.
فينا إذا بدك نحكي أكتر عن شو diversification وليش it's really important to diversify.
Yeah. I'd love to actually, because I'm I have to say, Anna, as a trader, I do like, so now that I'm an entrepreneur, I also invest in stocks and crypto, and I'm more of an active trader who day trades more than doing long-term type of investment that is diversified. And I get the idea, right? So today when you diversify, you minimize your risk, and I think it helps manage your wealth. And that's why it's important. And I'm going to hear, I would love to hear more from you about this. But in the same time, خاصة بالماركت اللي احنا فيه هلا, يعني it's a parabolic market. Yes. A lot of growth companies, with a lot of these Chinese companies doing IPOs in the US stock market, it almost feels like a loss of opportunity and gains that you could make if you select the 5-6 companies that you could actually triple or quadruple your money on every year. Of course, you could lose it all as well. I'm a professional gambler, يعني, obviously. But clearly, so for a long-term vision, maybe you can tell me more how like diversification and passive investing is a bit a safer option. And yeah, so
I love how you summarize it for me. خلاص يعني you're done that job. But basically, it is نحنا يعني Sarwa is rooted in passive investing. What is passive investing? Yeah. It's very simple. It's the concept of you're putting your money, you're letting it work for a long term, right? It's not about active trading. It's not buying in and out, وتبيع وتشتري وطالع. That's not what we do.
Yeah.
نحنا, we're about really putting a diversified portfolio of investment. And again, هلا بقوليش diversification is very important, and let it be.
Yeah.
So خليها for the long term. ليش? إذا هلا بتطلع أنت يعني let's take the example of 2020. Beginning of 2020, there was a market crash, صح? And like the stock market that kept like فجأة dipped, coronavirus, pandemic,
no one saw it coming.
No one saw it coming.
Yeah.
There was a big dip in the market.
Yeah.
بس هلا the market recovered. هلا في market volatility, and it is the nature of the market. Yeah. يعني الvolatility خلص طبيعة السوق هو إنه بينزل وبيطلع. صح. Right? But if you look, into you zoom out, you look long term.
Yes.
Okay. World economy has always historically trended upwards.
Yeah.
يعني بنزل تطلع بنزل تطلع بس long term انت عم تطلع تلوع.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is what we focus on. And no, into you start investing now, have a view over 5, 10, 20 years, and it's always going up.
Yeah.
Short term, no one can predict the short term.
Yeah, and I think this is right, the thesis of doing long term investing instead of day trading. يعني أنا أقول لك بصراحة حتى مع الستوكس اللي أنا كنت شاريهم, I was trading them, and because I traded them, I ended up losing out on all the gains I could have done if I just invested and I waited. وإيش بيقهر يعني واحد بيكون شاري ستوك حقه $3 بيوصل حقه $15 five times. If you try to emotionally buy and sell and try to time perfectly the top and sell at the top and buy at the bottom, you end up losing half the gains if you just buy it and you wait on it.
Yes.
I think this is one learning I had to learn the hard way when I first started trading. ولحديت هلا every now and then يعني I still find myself falling in that trap. Which is why I'm very curious to kind of think about, okay, الواحد لما اليوم عنده portfolio, عنده مصاري, what is your advice for somebody, let's say I'm 35 years old, okay, I have a certain amount of wealth that I want to invest, save, you know, all the money that I have sitting somewhere. How much of that money do you advise somebody like me to put it in a company like Sarwa or a fund managed by Sarwa, which is passive long-term investing? وقديم من هذا الفند لازم أحطه ب something else, right? So either buying gold directly or Bitcoin or even actively trading or real estate. Do you have advice in that sort? Or do you think generally the idea is you should put all your money in something that is long-term? And any advice on that sort? Or how does it usually work?
Yeah, and we always say don't put all your eggs in one basket, right? So again, going back to diversification, نحن البورتفوليو تبع سروة, not only through the ETFs, so you're diversified across, مثلا, again, take the example of the stock, you're diversified across a lot of companies within the stock market. But we have stocks, we have bonds, we have real estate.
Yeah.
So you're actually looking into diversification across class assets.
Right.
So no, you're not focused on one thing. يعني إذا أنت, you invested in real estate. Real estate in one specific market. اشتريت apartment, اشتريت بيت. ما بتعرف امتى الماركت بيقشط امتى بيرجع بيطلع. So it moves, and it's real estate itself is not liquid.
Yeah.
Right? يعني let's say بدك المصاري هلا. The apartment, not because you decided to sell it, is going to sell.
Yeah.
So it takes time. That's one thing. So and again, it's all your money is locked into one asset. You actually invest in a diversified portfolio, you actually minimize the risk because شي بينزل شي بيطلع.
So where do you, what for the average moderately risky investor, what can I expect? In fact, let me pull up the I have here your website. Let's see. All right, so I think you're going to talk us through this. Okay. So for anybody watching, this is the, or anybody listening rather, we're on the Sarwa website. We're going to look at how an example of how it works, right? So normally you have a starting amount. يعني أنا بجيكم على سروة بقولكم أنا بدي أحط مثلاً, what is that, like $100,000, 104. Nice. I am either conservative, balanced, or growth. So this reflects the risk appetite?
Exactly. And we have كمان ultra-conservative, we have ultra-growth, so you have a spectrum.
Okay.
And at the same time, نحنا, يعني مثل ما قلت لك, يزن, we really wanted investing to be available for everyone. So the minimum to start, عملناها $500. Okay. So you can start with only $500.
All right, let's go with this example. Right? $500 starting amount, balanced risk level, and then I'm probably going to put it how much? Let's say another $1,000 a month, for example?
Yeah.
Monthly amount. So if somebody puts a $500 with Sarwa today with a balanced risk, so not too risky but not too risk averse, and a monthly amount of $1,000, let's say a long-term view, so in 15 years, that amount would turn into $274,000. That's what we're looking at right now, right?
And that's the beauty of compound interest. So نحنا, we recommend always, you know, anytime you have money, put it in.
Yeah.
طبعاً, you have to think about an emergency fund first. So Atul, before you start investing, look into having a safety net that in case something happens, you know, things are so unpredictable, just like the market. Yeah. You never know what's going to happen. So it's very important to have an amount set aside that in case fees are worst case scenario, you lost your job, a medical emergency, any of the events in life that you can't control, then عندك a fund that you can tap into to survive. That should be separate than your investment. You should not tap into your investment to actually survive an unexpected event.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
لأنه بتكون you're خلاص setting off a sound financial plan that's really been built for the long term. صح؟
طيب, وإذا أنا أجيت على سروة, I'm actually asking as a potential customer here. Okay?
Okay.
So if I come to you and I say, this is my plan, $10,000 a month, for example, starting with, I don't know, $100,000 just to begin with, على سبيل المثال. Your consultants explained to me that this could be, in 10 years, you could turn this into $300,000 based on your risk appetite, whatever the number is.
Okay.
What if the market does much better than we expect and it turns out to be a parabolic year like this year? Or what if the market crashes and like we don't see the recovery happen for another 20 years? So, في أي, أنا... انتوا مش يعني انتوا مو مسؤولين على اللي بيصير, انتوا بس هلا عليكم تحكوا لي what is expected, whether it gets better or it gets worse than your expectations, I'm either going to get luckier or I'm going to, يعني that's okay,
but that's part of investing in anything in life. يعني you cannot guarantee anything. And Atul, we say نحنا, if someone comes to you and tells you give me money and I'm going to guarantee a certain return, there's a red flag somewhere. There is something that's sort of not right. So it's always, when it comes to investing, there are no guarantees. But what we can say is that نحنا, we build it on historical data. And what historical data shows, يعني, إذا بتاخد بي the history of the stock market and the worst case scenario that happened, which is 1929, صح? The biggest, the
Great Depression.
The Great Depression. Yeah. And it was a massive hit for the stock market. The reality is it rebounded in 4.5 years, right? Yeah. And if you take deflation and the dividends, reinvestment and all of this, you actually got back your money in 4.5 years.
Yeah.
So that's the worst case scenario that we've seen in recent history since the stock market.
إذا تشتري على العالي بدك تعلي لأربع سنين لترجع مصاريك إذا شريت على العالي.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. هلا, again, no one can predict the market. And that's why active trading, كمان, we say, is not the best way to go. هلا, إذا بتقلي أنت, you want to have fun. You want to buy crypto or gold or anything that you actually...
Chinese
or
electric Chinese, vehicle.
Or your friend tells you, this is an amazing stock you need to buy.
Yeah, it's usually how it works.
It's usually, it's the friend and someone that you know, صح? But we always say, no, this is money you're gambling with. So it's okay if you want to take a small amount and do that.
Yeah, yeah.
But do not do that with your savings and your life planning.
Yeah.
That's not the way to go.
Yeah, so that makes sense, right? So like basically, الواحد اللي نقول معاه $100,000 يحط مثلا, I don't know, most of that money in something safe and long-term secure, like a Sarawak type of ETF managed fund, with other 30% play around with, I don't know, gamble with stocks that are high growth. Or is that, yeah, so I was going to ask you, do you think this is too high of an amount to put in high-risk investments?
My personal belief, again, I'm not a financial advisor, Anna, okay? So let's put the disclaimer out there. But we would recommend, let's say, 5%, okay?
Okay, in speculative investments.
In speculative investment. Yeah. And I'll tell you, there's so a lot of research, guys, out there. You can look it up about active trading and versus passive and what actually works.
Yeah.
And the reality is, when you're an active trader, the majority of people tend to sell the good stocks and buy losing stocks.
Yeah.
And there is something called behavioral gap. So usually, because we're emotional creatures, we tend to panic sell. So a lot of people we see, whenever there's a drop in the market, it's going to drop more, let me sell before it goes even worse and goes more down. And then they sell on the low price. And then they buy what the market is going up and they're like excited, let me buy. So it's always like buy and sell, and you're buying low, you're buying high and you're selling low. And there's a saying, repeat until broke, right?
Yeah.
So this is what happens for the majority of people.
Yeah.
Yes, but no, Anna, I know because I'm going to buy low. So that's buying the dip. Great. But again, research shows you, if you're trying to time the market, it's extremely difficult to get it right.
Yeah.
حتى نحن بسروة عملنا research. We looked into the past 30 years. So from 1990 إلى today, 2020. We looked into different scenarios of people coming in and out of the market, okay? And we compared them to someone who just stayed invested. So حتى المصاري in 1990 didn't touch it, right? And you had financial crisis happening between now and then. It really pays off so much staying invested. Actually, one example of someone who he sold out when the market dipped 30% and bought when there's a 10% recovery. The return is around 22% less than what would have been if he has stayed in the market.
Yeah.
And that's only fatrit shahr. So that person went in and out of the market for only 1 month.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Active trading is actually costly.
Yeah, yeah, I get it. I mean, I experienced it firsthand when I started doing early trading. I mean, trading earlier when I first started trading, which was like 6-7 years ago. I realized that مهم كمان managing the mental state. If you're gonna actually play this game, you're gonna have to be able to stomach watching the screen go red for days and be like, okay, if anything, buy more as it goes down, average down. But I mean, this is again trading talk, so we're not necessarily. I know this is also dangerous. And if the safer option for most people who don't know how to trade, and it is like, by the way, it's scarier than a casino. At least in the casino, when you go and you're I don't know, playing blackjack or roulette. Or poker or whatever it is, you know your probability. عارف حالك انه انا بحط مثلا مصاري 60% chance اربح whatever. With the stock market, there are so many forces at play that you have no idea what the hell is going on.
Yeah.
Market makers, brokers, insider trading, option traders. If you're trying to beat the market, والمشكله اللي بيصير انه واحد بيشتري له سهم او سهمين ويعمل عليهم مصاري بفكر حاله انه he cracked it, you know. I get the idea, and I think it's important to teach people patience, انه حط مصاريك ونام عليهم وارجع اطلع عليهم كمان 10 سنين you would have made more money than 90% of the people who try to trade.
There
are some good traders who somehow crack it, somehow, one way or another, but it's also very risky to try to be like one of these people.
It's a combination of luck, speculation, and some inside information, right, Yanni? For retail investors, you're not an industry expert.
Yeah.
Retail investors are always reacting to stale news, Yanni.
Yeah.
Whatever already happened in the background happened.
Yeah.
By the time you know about it, it's too late. خلاص, they already locked the price in.
وهلا كمان في there's a new trend of the Robinhood traders.
Yes.
And I don't know how much you know about Robinhood as an app.
Of course.
Yeah.
It's our job to know.
Yeah, of course. There was a time, اجت فترة كنا نطلع على الفاينانشال ستيتمنتس تبعون الشركات ونطلع على PE ratios وعلى liquidity ratios وعلى الأمور هاي كلياتها. Which هلا كلياته هذا كبيب زباله. يعني صار في جيل جديد اسمه Robinhood traders اللي على أخبار بس بفوتوا على يوتيوب على تويتر. They are creating the hype that leads to the price fluctuation and the volatility in the market. it's too many forces at play. It's just way too unpredictable. But the point, so I'm all up for passive investing for the reasons that we described. But the question is, into when you invest in an index, you're investing in all the companies within that index. مثلاً ممكن يكون the winners, the losers. There are a couple of funds that are, for example, at least trying to identify the losers, which I think is an easier thing to do than to identify the winners. And so if you clean out the losers out of an index, what you end up having is a higher return over all the index. لأنه شلت losers وضل بس the gainers, the winners, and the moderate ones. And 5, 6, 7, 8% a year is relatively low. And if you come talk to me about making 7% a year, it doesn't quench my thirst. So do you have risky or funds or solutions that are for somebody that's looking to make 15, 20, 25% a year by eliminating losers out of the fund? Or have you ever thought about other offerings within Sarwa that are not too balanced and a little bit more for the risk, somebody with a higher risk appetite?
So we do. We have the ultra growth. And again, it depends on the year, right? يعني if you look into last year, it was an amazing year, but then yeah. It balances out ultimately. And that's why, again, نحن نحكي long term, then 7-8% is actually a good percentage, right?
Yeah.
Because we're talking about minimizing risk. يعني عم تحكي انت about your retirement planning, about your family, yeah. your kids' education, you know, you're talking about إنه لقدام what you're going to do. So you have to make more or less make it balanced. But we do have ultra growth portfolios that can give you, again, نحن, we don't like to guarantee any.
Yeah, return. What's the estimation on that one, for example?
But again, it could go up to 20.
Yeah.
Don't take my word for it. But sure. Again, يعني, نحن, what we always say, ultimately it boils down to having a diversified portfolio.
Yeah.
To ensure that good balance.
Yeah,
right?
fair. That makes a lot of sense. Was a واحد مثلاً شرى أو he got into سروة at the bottom of the so at March 2020, okay. Just 6 months ago, okay. At the best time to buy in. That person by now would have made something like 50-60% if they just bought the S&P or the Dow, right?
We're going back to active trading here.
No. So actually, we're not. So passive for me, my understanding is. So S&P 500 is an index that reflects the overall stock market. It's actually one of the ETFs that's out there. And so it includes all the different stocks, or more or less all the stocks that are active on in the New York Stock Exchange. Even if you look at the Dow Industrial, even if you look at Nasdaq, which is mostly tech, any index for that reflects the market today since the bottom of this year has grown around 60% this year alone. فإذا أنا اليوم حطيت مصاري بمارش 2020 بسروة وإحنا اليوم بأكتوبر قلت خلاص I want to get out. Would I make 60% assuming I invested in one of those ETFs through سروة?
Again, like I said, نحنا, the portfolio is diversified. So by diversified, I mean we كمان منحط bonds. So it's not purely stocks.
Okay,
huh?
So you don't have one index that's only stocks. It's always mixed within other bonds and other assets basically, right?
To answer Anjad fully transparently the question, on our website, you have all our portfolios,
okay.
From the ultra conservative to the ultra gross. What are the ETFs in them?
Yeah.
What are the percentages of these ETFs in that portfolio?
Okay.
We have a historical performance page that shows you also the historical performance of the portfolios going back a year, 5 years, 8 years, and so on.
Yeah.
So you can have the full view
of
everything through the website.
Okay.
So whether it's on our homepage or on the FAQ page, so you just like type anything you're interested in knowing and you'll have all the information. But if you want, I can give you an idea of, let's say, they're asking me about...
And actually, I guess my question more generally is, what do I do as a... What are the features that I get as a user if I have a Sarwa account? And if I started an account,
it's a good question.
Yeah, you advise me on what is the best investment strategy for my risk appetite and my the amount I want to invest to kaza kaza. But then, في عندي login profile, user profile, I log in, and what can I do after I've invested the money? Can I buy, sell, or do I just track the performance of my fund? So what are the features that I get? What's the user journey for somebody who's using the tech platform, which is Sarwa, basically?
Okay.
Yeah.
Again, passive investing.
Passive investing, yeah. So what do I get to do? Yeah.
So what you do is you answer the questions. So we have a survey to assess your risk profile mm-hmm. and your goals, right? Your financial goals. What are you actually investing for? Whether it's buying a house, whether it's you want to get your master's and so on, right? So what are the goals and what's the timeline you're looking to invest for? Based on that, we would recommend a portfolio to reflect exactly that. Yani, give you an example. You want the money in 1 year, but like, okay, don't go crazy risky because in 1 year, you don't know what's going to happen. So go a bit more conservative, right? So it all balances out. And again, the way we build our portfolios is not purely just diversification, but correlation of the ETFs being bad one. So you need to make sure, yani, diversification is a term that's being used very loosely. Ultimately, it's you have to have proper diversification. Yazan, we did an amazing webinar with our head of portfolio construction. So Dr. Jiro, who's a PhD, MIT in financial economics, and he went through and Jud in so much details about how you want to think about diversification based on academic research and historical data and everything, and shows really the importance of properly diversifying. مش انه تقول انا بدي اشتري ETF هون وETF هون وخلص I'm done. It's not about that.
It's the hedging that goes on between them.
It's the hedging. It's looking into liquidity, volume, covariance, all of this. يعني في research behind it.
Yeah, yeah.
So again, like I'm looking into our portfolio that's the growth portfolio. So in the growth portfolio, which more or less we have in all our portfolios, عندك, you have global bonds and you have US. So عندك like global bonds or US bonds. So that's from a bonds perspective. So you're covered in all markets in bonds, right? And then عندك real estate. So REIT, that's an ETF. Right. So you're covered in that class asset too. And then عندك stock market, you have access to the US ETF and the global. So you're covered كمان هون and هون. And we're talking about developed and developing and emerging markets. So we covered across, but we choose the ETFs based on the correlation between them.
Right, right. Okay. And so after you give me the advice of which investment strategy best fits my profile and my needs, I make the investment, I commit to a monthly payment.
You don't commit to anything.
So there is no monthly payment.
There is no monthly payment.
Okay.
We wanted, again, to make it very accessible and very simple and easy. So the whole process is done online, right? Mm. So again, yani, if you take traditional financial advisor, you have to go meet face-to-face, you have to sign documents, you have to, there's a lot of like person-to-person. That we removed. So everything is done online. Mm. We do facial recognition. We upload the documents. You upload the documents online. Mm-hmm. You e-sign. It's all done through the platform. It takes a few minutes.
Okay. So from there on, as a user, I don't interact with the tech platform other than to track the... So do I get to track what's happening with my money?
Once you actually fund your account, so you open an account, Mana. Once you fund that account, you have your own dashboard.
Okay.
So you see what's happening within your investments. You can track it. You can see how... It's really very detailed, very transparent. So again, نحنا... We're all about transparency because that's something extremely important. We have a common friend, Talal Kaman.
Talal Taba. So my first guest on the podcast. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And we actually interviewed him, Kaman. Now we have a section called My Sarwa Story.
Okay.
Where we cover, you know, people that had an unconventional journey to success.
Yeah.
And we were talking Mao about his journey in investment. Yeah. And then he can tell you all about being locked into really bad plans where you don't even know the fees that you're paying.
Yeah.
This is something, so we have a lock-in period, so you can come in and out, no fees, anytime, right? Okay. So mafi opening fee, mafi closing fee.
Okay.
We don't have trading fee. So when we actually buy and sell...
Like commissions, you mean?
There is no commission.
Yeah.
Again, it's extreme, the pricing is extremely transparent. We have a pricing page that details everything.
Yeah.
What you get for that advisory fee. We do dividend reinvestment right away. We do rebalancing for you. So we help you manage your portfolio. Mm. And like we said, you have access to your dashboard and everything is very clear, very transparent.
Yeah. And so as I observe my dashboard, I can watch my wealth grow and understand what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Can I at any point panic sell if I start to see the market crash? And this is not active invest trading. This is not, the idea is not to sell and then buy again. But if somebody looks at their money on one bad week or so and like realizes they lost 10% of their wealth, is there an option to like click sell, or is this, do I call, how, or is it just for the purpose of observing what's happening, and how active can the user be with their portfolio throughout the app?
It's your money, yeah. Right? It's you. You have the right to actually take your money.
Yeah, yeah.
But our job is to be here as a buffer. Mm. So if you want to withdraw,
yeah,
you can easily do it through the dashboard.
Yeah.
But we would tell you, can you give us a reason why you're doing that? Mm. To understand, if it's panic, then talk to us,
yeah.
Because that's not the right approach. Yeah. But if you need the money because you need the money, then you're
different. Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. Entitled to have your money.
I'm saying the idea of having monthly installments works for somebody like me is because it allows me to commit to saving part of my money every month, as opposed to like putting it in a savings account and then get to dip into it and save it and spend it, basically. So who would you consider to be your competitors in today's market? So you have the classic financial advisors, and are there any other apps that you're competing with, and how are you better than them, or what sets you apart?
It really changed. So ever since we launched Sarwa, we've been in the market for around 3 years now. So we launched the platform in February 2018, and the landscape changed, right? So when we started, I would say our main competitor was real estate developers, because people had money, they wanted to invest, that's where they put the money. Today, it's a very different landscape. So the ecosystem changed completely. And now what you see as competitors, you have either the trading platform, as you mentioned, so let's say the likes of Robinhood and eToro, which we really think, again, can be extremely harmful, especially to a younger generation that doesn't really know how to invest, because we do not have the financial literacy installed in us in schools or university. This is not part of the curriculum that we have, which should be, by the way.
Yeah.
But you also have, you know, the likes of the traditional financial advisors. There are some direct competitors that are coming into the market too. But the way we see it is, it's good because it's educating the market on, even if there are other robo advisors, on the right way to do it.
Yeah, fair. And now that we're looking at the market, where are we heading? Do you sit and talk with your co-founders and your team about where the market is heading and how that affects your investment strategy at all? Like, it's clearly been a parabolic market. A lot of stimulus, a lot of money being printed by the U.S. government, as I'm sure you know. So there are two schools of thought, that the market is going to keep growing like crazy, or others are saying it's going to crash soon, and because you can never go that high without eventually going down. Any particular thoughts on this, or do you simply stay with stay the course? You just like, okay, whatever happens, we don't care. We're a long-term view. Do you ever think about it? And do you ever think about like potentially including any of the inverse indices? Like, there are some inverse ETFs that are shorting the stocks. Mm-hmm. Do you ever go there, or you don't even bother?
So funny enough, we had a webinar about this specifically.
Ah, really?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, really, like, go to our YouTube channel, and we actually have a page on market volatility on the website. So if you go on the website under Discover, there's a page on market volatility. You see a few webinars that we've done on the subject.
So Sarwa/Discover volatility?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Yes. I'm going to check
and
it
we
out.
Have a webinar. Do you know Andrew Hallam?
Never heard of
Hallam.
Him.
I always say Hallam, but it's actually. So he's very well known here in the community. He's an author, very renowned international author about, again, passive investing. And he has a few books. One of them is Millionaire Teacher, Expat Millionaire.
Right? Okay.
So basically, he talks to specifically expat communities around the world. So he was in Singapore, and he comes often to Dubai, and he does all these beautiful, beautiful workshops where he tells you how to think about investing and what's the best way to approach it. So we've done a webinar with him, and he explained exactly, you know, about the difference between the economy and the stock market. And yes, there is a relationship, but it's like distant cousins more than siblings and twins, right?
That's a good
so
analogy.
They don't go really hand in hand. But we looked into it in depth. And the reality is, as a team, you're asking me as a team, do we sit and look into that? We do.
Yeah.
We also have something called Market Snack. So every month we look into the market, we discuss what the market, you know, what happened in the market, why, and so on. We try to be as unbiased as possible. So it's very factual. But we do look into what's happening because it's important to know. However, as you very well summarized it, it's about staying the course.
Yeah.
يعني في كتير عالم كانوا يسألونا إنه we're living in unprecedented times.
Yeah.
The reality is we are not.
Yeah.
It is a very unusual event what's happening.
Yeah.
No one can really predict the outcome. But the reality is the market has always had, whether it's the Great Depression, whether it's the World War II, whether it's the crash of 2008.
Right.
يعني في كتير events.
Dot-com bubble as well.
The dot-com bubble. كتير صار في events in the history of the market that were unusual.
Yeah, yeah. And so do you, since that, you know, okay, it is an unusual time, but it's not the first time that we go through an unusual time.
Yes.
When you talk about hedging, because one of the things you do is when you have one ETF, you're also looking at other ETFs that fit the right hedging strategy. How much do you guys talk about gold and Bitcoin as a possible, do you include it in your investment thesis, or is it way too speculative? Maybe gold and Bitcoin should be separated in this question.
Sure.
So do you consider gold at all? Do you consider Bitcoin at all? Or is it neither one of them?
We recommend if you want to actually invest in them, do that, but do with a small amount. Gold is about hedging against inflation, but it's not an investment per se.
Yeah.
Bitcoin is extremely speculative. So again, like you said, it's very different. But we always say if you want to invest into it, do it, but don't do it with your savings.
Okay, cool. That makes sense. I want to talk to you a little bit more about your team, about Sarwa. I have here basically a page of your team. So your two co-founders, Mark and Jad.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit more about how did you start working? How did they find you? How did you guys start working together? What's it like working in a startup environment in the IFC? So take it away.
Again, going back into the small community. So I actually know Mark and Jad through my sister. She's the one who introduced us. As I told you before, they were thinking about launching this hybrid robo-advisor, but they were both living in Canada. They didn't really understand much the market here and how the response would be.
Yeah,
I've been here for a long time. And at the time, I had just left Dubai Tourism. So I was working at DCM here with the government of Dubai. And one of my main roles was to look into basically... part of the job that we had is to position Dubai internationally as a retail center and looking a lot into market research and understanding the market and analysis and segmentation and so on. So they reached out. They were talking to my sister, who is a very close friend. And then they asked her, do you know anyone that can help us with the market research? She said, talk to my sister. So they reached out and I was helping them just to kind of understand, get a little bit of a sense of what's happening. And... then what happened is they heard about an accelerator in the IFC, the FinTech Hive at the IFC.
Yeah, yeah.
And they got very excited. Mark was working at Accenture. Accenture was one of the partners here. So they actually submitted their application and they told them, if we're accepted, we're going to quit our jobs in Canada, we're going to come here.
Yeah.
Which happened. So they came here out of nowhere. And as soon as they reached Dubai, they got in touch. And then we were sitting together and discussing again. And they're like, you know what, Nadine, how about you join us? And because I've been working, so we started actually talking about it a year before. So the more I got exposed to the idea, the more I fell in love with it. And I'm like, this is definitely something that we need to have here.
Yeah.
And as soon as they said that, I didn't hesitate. Like, let's do it.
Yeah, does it come from the same place that I was mentioning to you earlier, which is that you know you realize more and more how people are not managing their money in Dubai very well. They find ways to spend that money really quickly. يعني هلا عم بسمع كتير من عالم خاصة مع كورونا. Unfortunately, some of the people who lost their jobs, you know, the leeway for savings, and you know, a day معهم مصاري that has been saved to keep them afloat.
Yeah.
It's much less than you would have expected for somebody المغرب وتارك الأردن وتارك لبنان وجاء وأنا واحد منهم يعني لو ما بلشت أدير بالي شوي على my savings وركز كان ما كان معي أكثر من 4-5 شهور of savings money. Fortunately after the age of 30 and I'm 35 now I managed to become more conscious, but it's a great noble mission when you say like I want to teach people how to manage their wealth وما يحرقوها على سهرات وطلعات وجيات. So It's an amazing reason to start a company, I think.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank absolutely. And then basically what I noticed about your profile when I was checking your LinkedIn, and this is their first startup experience. I think my dog is growling behind you.
I hope it's not the
Veet
cat.
Veet is having a nightmare. Most people I know who are curious or who are keen to get into the startup world, who had their entire career in the professional path, either working for a company or in consulting or one of those things.
Veet is here.
Hey boy, how's it going? They are hesitant. They're scared to get into the startup world because of the fact that it's a riskier. Veet, come here, boy. Sorry, people are listening. They're a bit risky. They're scared to get into the startup world because it's a riskier place, but it's of course the much more gratifying place to work. And so, إيش الشغلات اللي خلتك أنت تقولي أوكي هلا حترك my professional career path, which is much more stable and it's not as risky, وأفوت على startup world. So what did you tell yourself to make that move and do it with the sufficient amount of courage that it takes to actually go ahead and make that move?
I think it was a culture I grew up in. It's not my first business, so I've had a business before.
Oh, okay.
But and I think I grew up in a household that has always encouraged entrepreneurial spirit and business ownership. So my dad has always told us, you have to work for yourself. And it was a mentality that I really grew up in. We all, like me and my siblings, we started working with my dad in the family business from a very young age. So I started around 13, 14, like he would take us to the office. And I'm not saying like working, like literally working. He would give me his accounts and I would handle the accounts.
Same. I'll tell you my story, but go on, continue.
He would give me like contracts, very detailed contract review and talk to the lawyers and make sure you know everything. So I grew up in a household where it was always about being exposed to the reality of the business world and being fascinated by it. So it was a second nature, to be honest. But at the same time, I realized that I needed experience from the corporate world to be able to also know how to improve my skills, right? So I've always worked. I went to AUB and I was working in AUB. So it was a student merit. I was working with the Office of Development while studying. I went to Italy. So after AUB, I went and did my second degree. So in Italy, I was studying and working.
Where in Italy?
Florence.
Okay.
And then I went to Paris, same thing. I was studying and working. I've never, to me, work was always a second nature. I might be a bit of a workaholic, to be honest.
Yeah.
But so that's something I'm learning to balance. But then I came back to Beirut, started working in a big, so at the time I was focused on fashion and fashion management. Yeah. So I was working in a big couture house, after which I decided, okay, you know what? Now I learned what I needed to learn. I can launch my own business. So I started. Unfortunately, Lebanon being Lebanon, there was a lot of, you know, political uncertainty, let's put it this way. Ultimately, this is when we moved here, my husband and
what
I.
What was the business you started?
So I had my fashion house in Beirut. Mm-hmm. And it was doing really well. And then ultimately, there was the war of 2006 that happened. And this is actually when I met my husband. And when we decided to get married, we said we needed to start a life together that's a little bit far from Beirut, the unfortunate reality. It makes me sad to say.
Yeah.
This is when we came here. And then for the longest time, I started going back and forth and back and forth. But then I had my first child, made it a bit more inconvenient to travel. So I was going every single week to Lebanon. So كنت رايحة وجاية, 3-4 days هونيك, 3-4 days هون. So ultimately, I decided, okay, I need to let go. And at the time, e-commerce wasn't an option, right? It wasn't even like really known. So it was brick and mortar and you had to be present. So I had to shut down the business and focus here.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, the fact that you're a mother, how many kids do you have?
I have three.
You have three kids? Yay. Mashallah. Wow, you're trouble basic.
Thank you.
It's incredible. I have to say, being a mother is a full-time job, as we all know. I recently had an amazing lady on the show. Her name is Lulu. She is a mother as well. Lulu Khazin, do you know who she is?
Yeah.
You know Lulu?
I don't know her personally.
But you know of her?
Yes.
So is the dog's going to walk around.
No, he's entertaining.
I think he smells the cat on you.
I know. I shouldn't have done that.
Need to go to your bed, my boy. It's enough now.
He's going to be
around. So she's also a mother, and she's an entrepreneur, and she has her own podcast. And we had a chat recently about what it means to be a mother and also an entrepreneur. And how challenging that can be, or at the same time, you know, one of the perspectives that I found from Lulu that was very refreshing is how you can actually be a mother, and that sort of allows you to become even better at multitasking as women, because I think women are better multitaskers than men to begin with. And then somehow she was kind of sharing the insight of, like, you know what, you can actually do stuff, start your podcast, start a business, be a mother. How are you able to manage those two professions? I guess one is an actual profession, the other one is being a mother. Is it as challenging as it sounds, or do you find hacks and tricks to make it work?
I think each one of us has their own hacks and tricks, right?
Yeah.
And to me, it's amazing. The more you take on, the more you're able to manage, right?
Yeah.
So when I had my first child, I'm like, okay, how am I going to do this? How am I going to... And then the second child came, like, oh, having one is so easy. And then the third came, like, having two is so easy. But then you keep, like, building on that. But at the same time, it's really about having a support system around you.
Yeah.
I mean, you know my husband, and to be fully transparent, we have a 50-50 partnership.
Like, yeah.
He is extremely involved with the kids. We have an understanding that, you know what, we decided to have kids together, so it's a shared responsibility. And whatever we do, I drop them off in the morning, he picks them up. If he drops them off, I pick them up. If he does the English homework, I do the French and Arabic homework. So we split the responsibilities, and he works, I work. So it's, I think having that support system around you.
The balance, right?
The balance.
يعني كنت بحكي برضو للولو إنه لما حضرت حلقة على Netflix of the, it's a series called Explained. You know what that series is on Explained on Netflix? They talk about different topics, and one of them was the gender pay gap.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
وقعدت أسأل حالي, okay, why do you even have a gender pay gap? And then this show explains, which ultimately it comes down to one thing, which is when you're in parenthood, the responsibility by default is on the woman to take care of the chores of the house and the kids. That's why it leads to men having access to a better career opportunity and promotions and so on. So really all it takes is if that's a problem, if that's a reason, if ultimately that's the reason why there is a gender pay gap and why women have limited career opportunities compared to men, all you got to do is balance it out. Have the man spend more time at home with the kids just as much as the woman. And this means that both have the opportunity to be driven and go out and get the professional gratification work that any, the satisfaction that they need to get and to achieve and start a company or get a promotion. So it's amazing that you have Mo Halabi. He's one of the...
Shout out.
Yeah, shout out to Mo, by the way. Mo and I got to meet at the last party we had for Kyo Collective, the company that we have, which is for ex-consultants. He seems like a lovely guy. I can't wait to meet him again. I only met him one time. But it's amazing that you're mentioning Adem Mohim, to have the kind of the balance and the right structure that allows you as a mother to also have a professional life, because he's contributing as well for the kids in the house, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. But you know, Yazan, yani, I've been on many panels and we've discussed the gaps and what are the reasons behind the gaps. So because the reason I'm mentioning panels is because every time before I go on a panel, I actually look more in depth into the subject because I really want to understand. There are a lot of reasons, right? So one of them is like you mentioned, but that's really the upper layer, I would say, because at the bottom of it, there's a lot of the values ingrained in us as a society, as women, as men. What is the role? What is the stereotype? Of course, there is also some the intuition that comes in us as women. And not all women, by the way, want to be mothers. That's an option.
Yeah, yeah.
But at the same time, for some reason, when we become mothers, we do take on more.
Okay? Yeah.
And it is part of what happens, the hormones that kick in. But there's so much education to be done on what women can do and can achieve and how society can support them and how corporates can help them and what you can do in terms of mentorship, in terms of programs in place, whether it's the workplace or university level or school level, or as parents, you know, teaching our kids. So I had a little, I have a girl. Mm-hmm. And
what's her name?
Masa.
Okay.
And so she has two older brothers. And it's extremely important for me to show her, Mama, you're capable of anything, Yani. It's not because they're boys, they can do things that you can't do,
yeah,
within the limit, of course. But at the same time, I want her to feel like we are supporting her. She's four, so it's not like,
yeah, but it's important like at that decisions. Age. No, but you're doing all the right things to tell her at that age.
It is yeah, extremely important. And I'm hoping that by being that role model to her, maybe that also sets an example.
طيب, and as an entrepreneur now that you're in the startup world, and actually also as a professional who was in the corporate world before you started moving into the startup world, do you feel like as a woman you experienced a lot of growling dog upstairs? He goes through these fits. Do you feel like you've had moments as a woman where you experienced prejudice in the workforce, either from men who are investors or other people in the community, or do you feel like not so much, at least not in Dubai? Any thoughts on that?
It's a very good question. I'm not going to lie and say no. Yes, of course, right? It all boils down to the fact that we have unconscious bias. Some bias is very conscious, don't get me wrong. Most of it is unconscious. And most of it comes from affinity, right? So if you're sitting with a bunch of people, but then somehow you connect, because it's easier to connect, let's say you went to the same university, then you have this common points that you can easily discuss, then it's easier for you to connect with someone who went to a completely different country and a different university. Same goes for gender. Like when you have men sitting together, they connect on a certain level. Women maybe find it hard to actually come in.
Yeah.
Same for if you reverse it, I would imagine it would be very similar. But yeah, the fact is, in the workforce, the majority is men. The higher you go up in management, less women. Right? You don't find as many women. And again, this is like, there's a lot of data about it.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is where it becomes a vicious cycle, because you would bring in more men because, again, this is the culture and there's not a lot of women. So women don't really necessarily have the biggest say. So again, it becomes, you know, it cascades down.
Yeah.
Have I faced it? Few times I did.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But it's not gender specific, but it's also minority specific.
Right.
So whatever the minority that sits around that table is, then you would have that feeling.
Yeah.
But I also had a lot of support from amazing men that were very aware of what was going on.
Yeah. And I think that's really important, to be honest. Yeah. I think if it's not for men who start to help women in setting that impression and standing up for other men who are showing the kind of prejudice that is destructive, then it's not going to move. I mean, I think we need to have more men along with women, but more men to stand up for any prejudice that we see around in the workforce. And I have three sisters, and a mother, no brothers. They're all working. They're all other entrepreneurs or very successful in their professional careers. I'm all up for empowering, I think that we as men have to play a role in like calling out any other men who would say things like, for example, do you really want to hire a woman for this role? I mean, they're never going to say it in these blunt words.
No, sometimes they will.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think, يعني في انطباع مأخوذ انه اظن الفكرة هي انه اذا if we're going to hire a woman, we're going to have to accommodate for the fact that she's a woman and a mother.
Yes.
And that's the unfortunate reality that these men have to realize that, first of all, actually, I think the solution to this problem, in my opinion, is that the expectation should not be that the woman is going to take care of her kids and her house on her own. She's going to have a husband or a partner, and they're going to do this together. So if you hire her husband, it's going to be the same. It shouldn't be that, I'm going to hire Nadine. It means that I'm going to get her for half the hours that I would normally get Mo if I was to hire Mo. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And it is a conversation I've actually had with my husband, where I was telling him in one of a certain setup where there was a discussion about hiring someone. So in my previous jobs, and she was a mom, and they're like, but she's a mom. And I told them, okay, but would you ever question a dad? Like, is that a question you ask someone when you interview? So how are you going to handle when you're interviewing your men? How are you going to handle family and work?
Yeah.
It's never a question you get asked as a man. I'm hoping, I don't know.
No, we don't. You're
but
right.
We don't.
Yeah,
we don't. But women, we do get that question. I've gotten that question many times. But come in at the same time, I don't think, yani, throughout history, currently we are best positioned as women.
Yeah.
To make change happen. So yeah. it's also, there is a positive aspect to it, but there's still a lot of work to be done.
100%. But I'm glad that, you know, somebody like you, like Lulu, I had her last time, you know, and I'm sure there are many, many more women who are managing to set the right example of what it means to be a mother and a successfully professional entrepreneur or professional executive. And it's, so it's really great to have you here on the show. I'd love to see you again. I can't wait to see Mo again. And we should probably do that socially outside of the podcast. And I want to say for anybody who's listening, as far as Sarwa is concerned, if anybody has any questions, they can go on the website, sarwa.com, S-A-R-W-A.
.co.
S-A-R-W-A.co.
Correct.
Get in touch with one of your team members. Absolutely. To find out more. I think we should all, as professionals living in Dubai, but also you guys serve professionals or anybody who's outside of Dubai as well, or the UAE, so Jordan, Lebanon. You serve customers across the world or across the region? Is there a specific?
Our focus is on the region, and currently the core segment is the UAE, so this is where we're focusing, but we do take from.
Okay, yeah. So if you don't want to be the foolish me that I was when I was 25, 26, and you want to start saving your money and watching it grow, look up Sarwa, get in touch with somebody at the team members at Sarwa.
Yes.
And Nadine, I want to thank you for coming. It's been great having you.
My pleasure.
I look forward to having you again. And that's a wrap.
Thank you, Yazan.